Welcome to Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
The Lord just kept on reminding me that He will beautify the humble with salvation. He will beautify the humble with salvation. And the beauty that comes on the humble and the ugliness that comes on pride. And many things can go ugly, but actually the root of it is pride. And many things can become so beautiful, but the solution is not necessarily in the circumstance or outside, but in the posture of our hearts, a posture of humility and yieldedness to our God. And I just pray in the name of Jesus over Pneuma Church, over this congregation in particular, and would you join with me just in that prayer as we unite with God's intention. God, thank you for a beautiful people, people that are beautified with salvation. And I thank you for a humble people, a people that will yield their heart, lay down every thought, lay down every imagination, and hold that captive to the obedience of Christ. A people that rally around and yield their heart around the will of God and the God of His will. May you have all the glory in the church by Christ Jesus. Amen and amen. I don't know why, but another thought just very quickly with you that just kept on going through me in worship. Eve found something good in what God said would kill her. She said that the fruit was good to her eyes and desirable for food. Even though God said, the day you eat of it, you shall surely die, she actually found something good in what God said would kill her. Such is the power of deception. And in order not to sit ever under a spirit of deception, I mean, if you are a perfect human that is sinless, Eve, in a perfect environment, Eden, and you get deceived, it means that any of us can get deceived, right? Yeah. Okay, and never to yield to a spirit of deception, because none of us are exempt from it. Doesn't matter how long you've been walking in the Lord. We need to stick so close to the Word of God. Never, Lord, never in my life, never in your life, our best thinking to become more important than the Word of God. May the Word of God be an all in this church. May the Word of God be our foundation, our daily bread, our daily walk. So let's partner just with that for a moment. Father, we ask you to embed every word, not so that we can preach it, not so that we can know it, but so we can do it. And therefore, every deception be broken over our individual lives and your collective people in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen. Awesome. Let's get into the Word of God. I want to speak to us today from the thought of the miracle in the mess. The miracle in the mess. And, you know, if you've walked with Jesus for 5 minutes or if, you know, as a matter of fact, if you've lived long enough, you'll know that life is full of messes, full of contradictions, full of trials. It just is. It really is. And sometimes anguish will happen in our life. I know that that's happened in my life because of my own doing. Just like Jonah did certain things and didn't do certain things, it was his own doing that caused the anguish. There are other times in our life where anguish and trials and tribulations and afflictions will happen because of evil being outworked through people around you. Exactly like in Jesus' days, he experienced a whole heap of affliction, but it had nothing to do with what was in him. It had everything to do with what was around him. That could also happen. That could also happen directly as an assail or an assault, as it did with Job, of the demonic on a person or a people group. But I guess whether it's me, whether it's what's around me, or whether it's the spirit realm or a combination of all of those kind of like put together, you will notice that it is guaranteed that every single one of us will face trials, tribulation, anguish, ordeals, we will all face them. Now, the Bible is so clear. Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you as though some strange thing has happened to you. Sometimes why the Apostle Peter needs to talk like that to people of faith is because sometimes we think because we have Jesus, we are exempt. And that is not true. Sometimes we think if God is present, then trials must be absent. And that is not true. That's why Jesus promised, it's one of his promises, in the world you will have tribulation. It's actually a reality. So we need to put on our big boy pants and big girl pants and get a theology around it. Do you know why? Because if you don't get a proper perspective from heaven, pain will run your life. And that causes you to function in dysfunction. So we need to get a proper revelation. What happens in my life? Why is this happening? What is God saying through that? What do I do with that? Etc. In that. Now, theologians tell us that when it comes to the will of God and the expression, how we experience the will of God in our life, that there's three main expressions of the will of God that we experience in our life. We experience his perfect will. We experience his prescriptive will. We experience his permissive will. His perfect will are things like you, me, family, friends, getting saved, redemption, heaven. They call that the perfect will of God. Prescriptive will is exactly like a doctor's prescription. If you do this, this happens. If you believe, you will be saved. So there's a partnership with divine will to see something at work. That's God's prescriptive will. God's permissive will, now that's where we're going today a little bit, is when the Lord allows something in your life and my life that transcends reasoning. You and I don't understand it. It does not necessarily fully make sense. It's not a linear equation. It seems to contradict maybe everything you know about Jesus and challenges the very core of your conviction, the very core of your faith. But I tell you, if you walk with Jesus, you're going to have to navigate it. Yeah? All right. Open up with me to the book of John chapter 11. Book of John chapter 11. I really do want to emphasize how important this is. Because when I was thinking about this, I was thinking even about John the Baptist. Now, according to Jesus' testimony of John the Baptist, he was not fickle. He was not a reed shaken by the wind. He was a man strong in faith, full of the power of the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. But he came to a point when he was in prison and sent word to Jesus, are you that coming one, or do we look for another? Ordeals can cause us all to doubt. So we better have some kind of revelation around how that works. First, let's go to John chapter 11 and starting at verse 1. We're not going to read the whole chapter, but bits and pieces. A certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Now, I want us to note this. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord. It was that Mary who was an extravagant worshipper. It was that Mary who gave a year's salary as a praise offering to Jesus. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sister sent to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. I also want us to note that Jesus didn't have a problem with Lazarus. He didn't have a problem with Mary. He didn't have a problem with Martha. He loved them. Just note that. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. And again, Apostle Paul emphasizes, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in that place where he was. We'll jump down to verse 17. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. We're going to jump down finally to verse 20. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. All right, well, let's begin our conversation. Can I just put it right out there, right at the beginning, that you can love the Lord and be loved by the Lord and still have a major problem? Can we be totally okay with that? Three times the Apostle John talks about how much love's going on, that there are no issues between his family and the Lord. There's a total exchange of utter divine love happening in that space. Yet, even though an extravagant worshippers on one side and a loving God on the other side, problem in the middle. That's really interesting. Now, you know why I say that? Honestly, most church people think and try to dissect and sometimes say things that are completely misplaced to other church people when they're going through stuff. They say things like, you know what, there's probably some secret sin and now this has come to the forefront. You know what, if you lived with the Lord according to biblical principles, this would never have happened to you. But it now has manifested in sickness in your body. That's a little bit phony. As if the Christian walk is meant to be rosy all the time and void of any trouble at any time. And the only time that you experience it is you're right out of the will of God, as if that's the case. You could be totally loved by heaven, totally in the center of God's will, and totally miserable. If the story of Joseph proves anything, it proves that you could be so faithful to the Lord, but the situation that you find yourself in is full of misery. So sometimes we incorrectly conclude God's love, God's commitment, God's favor with us, upon us, to us through external provision. And that is a wrong metric to use. Christians go to a shopping center and try to park their car and somebody else comes in and they're like, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's not faith. So we've become judges of God through the external provision of circumstances. And I want to totally empathize with Mary and Martha, because I understand. I think I would have been having the same dilemma. I would have been saying, Lord, I don't get it. When we invited you for a dinner so that we can lavish on you, you came. When it was going to be singing your praise and it was going to be a praise party and we're going to give you a whole heap of money in that oil and all of that, you came. But when we were in trouble, where were you? I don't know if you've ever been there where you've had a screaming problem and a silent God. But can I just say, the silence of God does not mean the absence of God. And Mary and Martha find themselves, they mistook the whole situation right there. It's perplexing. So why did this mess happen? If we dive into it a little bit, why on earth, Lord, would a mess like that happen? Can I strongly commit to us that you check this out biblically in just about every Bible story, that trouble is often transportation for destiny? Just check it out. Check it out in your life. Check it out in the track record of history of your walk with God. Check it out in the Word of God, you will find that somehow adversities create advancements in God's economy. It's a strange upside down economy. It's not linear. It's not how you would think it would happen, but God allows in His permissive will, in His transcendent understanding, promotions to come through problems. Yeah. How, Lord? That's the wisdom of God. I love what the Lord did right with His people Israel from the book of Exodus. We could see, 430 years of oppression. Now, that's a lot of years. Now, come on, we're not talking about 6-9 months. We're talking about centuries. Centuries of injustice. Centuries of oppression. How do you even begin to decode that? But then in the book of Exodus, chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. Wow, hang on a minute. Now, Satan was rejoicing because he thought, okay, I've got them for eradication, but the Lord used it for multiplication. That's God's transcendent wisdom. God knows how to take the rubbish of the present to fertilize the future. He really does. In your life and in my life, don't just think because I'm navigating difficult circumstances that God is forsaking me, that the hand of God is not upon me. That's nonsense. These are not the indicators of any of that. I have realized something in my journey with Jesus. I have realized that the most important miracles in my life with Jesus are the ones that have a delay. Because they always have some kind of transcendent wisdom that happens later that I can never know. I journey forward, but I actually see God's wisdom in hindsight. I can't imagine that the Hebrew women who were sitting under a kind of oppression from their mistresses with such injustice, cleaning silver and gold and cleaning their houses and et cetera, for years and years, and the oppression of injustice for years and years, but the Hebrew slave had no idea that God was actually preparing it for her. Who would have known at the time that she was actually going to take all of that with her as the Lord causes her to inherit the land that's flowing with milk and honey? You'd never know it at the time, that the Lord was literally using adversity for advancement. What a God. So that the Hebrew woman could sit there going, you know what, God? It happened. It hurt, but it helped. The book of Nahum, chapter 1 and verse 3, says that the Lord will have His way in the whirlwind and in the storm. The Lord does not stop the whirlwind. The Lord does not stop the storm. The Lord just has His way in it. That's why we're looking at why there's a miracle in every mess. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You could look square at the mess that you're in and you say, a miracle is coming. Because that's the pattern of Scripture. Realize that the Lord really strengthens our faith, which is so necessary, through the wrestles of such seasons and such circumstances. I know that I said this before, but it's really, really important to highlight Psalm 92, verse 12, which says that the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. Now, who knows? God is a biologist as well. He's got His master's in biology, right? He's the Lord of life. Biology is the study of life. He's the Lord of life. Right? So it was no coincidence that the Lord says that the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, singles out the palm tree. Hang on, why? What do you mean the righteous is going to flourish, become so fruitful, just like a palm tree does? Why the palm tree? I'll tell you why. You know that the Lord made the palm tree not to snap, but to bend. It doesn't break, it bends. So here's what happens, right? Hurricanes come through and palm trees go all the way down, even to the ground for hours. hours of contrary wind. I want to tell you two things about that. One of the things, it doesn't stand against the wind, it bends with the wind. Think about that. Okay? And stays down, and then when the wind's gone, it springs back up. Now, here's what biologists have said happens. Biologists have said that any palm tree that has gone through a hurricane grows to be so much bigger than other palm trees that have never gone through a hurricane. The reason being is so much stress has been put on its roots that when it bounces back up, that stress expresses itself in a whole level of new life and growth that causes it not only to grow underground, but in due time to shoot up and bear so much fruit, you go, that's been through a hurricane. The Lord said, that's how the righteous flourish. Wow. You mean I don't flourish by going in the green room of a conference? No. He said, hurricanes. He said, hurricanes. He said, cyclones coming your ways. How are you going to go? I've realized that our destiny and our agony are totally interconnected. When God, seriously, please listen into this. When God wants to promote you, He'll put you through a new pain threshold. That's why, please don't worry too much when the Lord interrupts your comfort, because who knows, He's much more interested in our character than He is our comfort. You know, I'm okay with temporary inconvenience for the sake of permanent good. Because that's the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God, the permissive will of God, the loving shepherd knows. I have realized He is the best manager of crisis. So on time, with every thought and every deed that happens. Open up with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 45. Have a look at this. Book of Isaiah chapter 45, verse 3. He says, I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord who call you by your name, am the God of Israel. Did you notice the beginning of that verse? I will give you the treasures of darkness. Do you know that there's treasures that can only be found in darkness? They can't be found anywhere else in life. They have to be found in darkness, where you would never have that treasure in your life from God unless you walk through the valley of the shadow of death with God. It's a treasure in darkness. You know, David, in order for God to prepare him to be the man of God, in order to prepare him to be king, in order to prepare him to be lead worshiper, in order to prepare him for revival in Israel and to take a nation forward in the intention of God, he didn't just wake up one day and attend a few meetings and feel good. He had to go through some stuff. He had to go through some stuff. He had to find a treasure in darkness. He had to one day watch his brothers come to the forefront and he in the back like he doesn't even count when the prophet Samuel was looking for who. I don't know if you can fathom the level of rejection that would be experienced with something like that when all your siblings are being put forward and your father thinks of you, you're not even worth considering. The level of rejection would be horrible from that significant other. But it was right there that David learned, when my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take care of me. It's not by public poll, it's by heaven's deeming. Now, that was a treasure in the darkness. It was a treasure in the darkness when it was told him that he would occupy the throne in the palace, but instead of being in the palace, he was in a cave. Because it was in the cave that he got on his face before the Lord and learned to be a humble man. That was a treasure in the darkness. It was a treasure in the darkness when he is sincerely celebrating the presence of the Lord without any fear of man. And he's dancing and twirling because he doesn't, whatever, I'm here before the Lord, I'm not here to impress anyone else. And his most significant other, his wife, mocks him and calls him an absolute mockery. Because right there, David learned, you know what? I'm going to live for the audience of one. I don't care about the accolades of anyone. It was right there that the Lord made him. That's why he said in Psalm 119, verse 171, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn to keep your statutes. It happened. It hurt, but it helped. Treasure in the darkness. The Lord does that. The Lord in your darkest season of wrestle is not breaking you, he's making you. I've noticed this as well. I've noticed that when the Lord permits the enlarging of your trial, whether individually or collectively, if he permits the enlarging of your trial, it's because he's trying to enlarge you. That's all that God's doing. That's why I'm saying that adversities create advancements, because that's all that God's doing. One more thing I want to tell you before I begin to talk to us about the wisdom of the Lord in this space. One more observation that I have made just in my journey with Jesus. I've realized sometimes God breaks my heart so he can fix my vision. Don't shy away from heartbreak. Sometimes, because the Father loves us so much, he allows the breaking of our heart, but then all of a sudden our vision becomes to recalibrate and our vision gets fixed. What is actually life all about? What's actually really important? Where have I gone wrong and what is it that God wants to prune? What's important and what's on God's heart? What's most important to him in this situation, in his agenda, not mine? God will break your heart, but will fix your vision through temporary circumstances. Now we come to the wisdom of God. Why is it that Jesus, who loves Mary, Martha, why is it that he could have stopped the death, allows the death to take place with his friend Lazarus? Why do we get to this point at all? If you just go back with me to the book of John chapter 11 and have a look at verse 14, I just want us to see the wisdom of the Divine One that transcends human thinking in this space. Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, listen to this, that you may believe. Nevertheless, I will go to him, or let us go to him. Now, hang on a minute. He says, I'm glad that I didn't go. I'm glad. I understand that there was temporary pain, but I'm glad. I on purpose delayed. I on purpose withheld. He says, now here's why, that you may believe. Now, hang on a minute. Lord, they are believers. They're extravagant worshippers. But here's the point. They believe to a certain point. They believe, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. They believed in a Jesus who can heal. They did not believe in a Jesus yet who could raise the dead. That's why in the very same chapter in verse 25, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he dies, yet he shall live. So please hear me if you've heard nothing else today. Hear this, because this is really important. Sometimes God will not do what you want. Sometimes God will not do it how you want it. Sometimes God will not do it when you want it, because God has an upgrade for you. So it's not what you wanted. It's not how you wanted it to happen. It's not when. It wasn't by your calendar. But that's because the divine love has an upgrade.
that the divine wisdom has an intention that exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or imagine. And that he was taking him to a whole sphere. I've realized that God's answers are wiser than my prayers. So many things I've sincerely prayed for and believed that it was the Father's will. But at the end of the day, God's answers are wiser than my prayers. Can we be okay that whatever God answers, God is God and we are not? Actually, worship team, come join me because we might do a couple of different things this service. I just want to say this. In God's economy, problems are often key to your promotion. They're often the key to what God is going to do next. We shouldn't shy away from them. We should engage with them in godly ways. According to Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 3, it says that he gives beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning. He gives beauty for ashes. You know what that means? If you haven't been burnt, you will never be beautiful in God. We need to go through some stuff with God. We really do. But I also want to let you know this, that every dilemma, every challenge that you have in your life, every ordeal has an expiry date. The darkest hour in our life could only be 60 minutes. It has an expiry date. That's why we read in verse 22 of that chapter that the sisters came to Jesus and they said to him, okay, this happened and he died, but even now there's a miracle of God. Even now, whatever you ask, God will do even now. See, the whole story began with a promise. The promise was that this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. It began with a promise. And can I just say the promises of God are scheduled appointments. Though it tarries, wait for it, it will surely come. Some of you have been promised words over your children who are deep in drugs and they're getting worse and worse and they're becoming suicidal. But the Lord watches over his word to perform it. The Lord is not intimidated and is not a prisoner to natural law. Lazarus was dead 4 days in the Arabian desert. His body was decaying. The stench was yelling in Jesus' face, but he is Lord of all. The Lord does not care how long you've had the problem. One word will undo it. The Lord does not care how long you have had the disease, even if it's been in your family for generations. If the Lord has spoken a word over it, it shall be done in the name of Jesus. He's not intimidated by any of that. I really feel to say that some of you, God has taken away something that you never imagined losing in order to give you something that you can never imagine having. Maybe brought you pain and heartache and you thought, I would never lose this. And you're dealing with the grief, you're dealing with the loss, but there's a miracle in that mess. And the miracle in the mess is God is going to give you according to the riches of the King. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus is your God and my God. He's the God of his church. He's the God of every individual. He's the God who neither fails nor is he discouraged. He's a God who never loses heart. He's Lord of all. We run out of steam. Never God. Never God. every knee will bow, every demon in hell will bow to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The eyes of the Lord go to and fro across all the earth to show himself strong. Why? No. On behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to him. I've realized this. I've realized in every situation, God has the last say. God will have the last say in your life. God will have the last say in your life. There's a miracle in every mess. As a people of God, I want us to be like the flock that loves to rock. You know, we can't look like the Book of Lamentations, the front cover. Our trust in the living God. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord lifts up the standard against him. You know what? A boat is always designed to float. It's designed for troubled seas. The only time the boat gets into trouble is what's on the outside gets on your inside. When you allow your environment to become one with you, the boat sinks. But your boat is designed to float above every circumstance. You look the disease in the face, you go, but God. You look the situation in the face and you go, you can scream all you want, situation, but God. Because there's a miracle in the mess. There's a miracle in the mess. Jesus is still on the throne. I checked this morning. He's on the throne. People of God, can I encourage us? Be happy. Be confident. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Can I tell you, seasons come, seasons go, but the joy of the Lord is our strength in every season. I've realized, if I can just take one more minute to tell you this, I've realized that Satan doesn't like it when I'm happy. I've really realized that. He's like, what is wrong with these people? They're like the Mona Lisa. Their back's against the wall, but they got a big smile on their face. That doesn't come from fabrication. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Because where does my help come from? Where does my help come from? Thousand will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near your dwelling. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward. What a beautiful God of miracles. Thank you, Lord, that you're not a doctrine, that you are alive and you are who you are. You're so beautiful. Thank you that you're so real. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you love every single person who is in this room. You know every single one of us by name. None of us are a number. None of us are unimportant to you. That you love every single one of us. And even among ourselves, Lord, sometimes when we struggle to love each other, you love every single person that is loved or unloved by others. You love us all. Thank you that you're such a great shepherd, such a beautiful shepherd. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that the enemy is defeated in your people's lives. And as we yield like the palm tree, we shall spring back up and flourish to the glory of God, that you may be honored and glorified. Thank you that in every mess there is a miracle because you are Lord of all. You are Lord of all. You are Lord of all. We love you. We love you. We honor you. Worthy of all of our praise. Yeah. We're just going to pray a simple prayer together. And then we're going to stand up and worship.
most important thing, honestly, for a beautiful church like ours is to remain united in the Spirit, to remain in love, because there the Lord commands the blessing, life forevermore. Do you know, can I tell us, love does not mean that people don't have different preferences. Anybody can have different preferences on any issues. That's all good. But that does never mean disunity. Can I ask us to commit to loving Jesus more than ever and loving each other more than ever? Come on, let's love each other more than ever. More than ever. More than ever. So that the Holy Spirit can have all the room and be honored. So that Jesus could always be honored. Always be honored. Lord, not my will be done, but yours be done. You be honored. You be honored. In that vein, if you are comfortable with grabbing the hand of the person next to you, please do so. Connect with them, hand on shoulder, whatever. If you are not comfortable with that, don't worry about that at all. You don't have to. Actually, Pastor Glenn, you've been away for a little while. Come up and join me. Come up and join me. I'd love for you, Pastor Glenn, to pray a prayer of unity over the church and a oneness, a solidification, a full yielding to all that the Holy Spirit means for us. Thank you.
Amen. Yeah. Father, you said, actually, Jesus said, the glory that you've given me, I've given to them that they may be one in us. Lord, we thank you for your glory, that your glory isn't just for us. It's not just for us to experience or even to manifest, Lord, but that we might be one. Lord, one in you, even as the Son and the Father are one and the Holy Spirit is one. That we'd be one in you and that we'd be one with each other. Lord, we declare in Jesus' name that there is one church. There is one Lord. There is one God. There is one body. And Lord, we thank you that there is one kingdom. And we were told, we were instructed by you, we were commanded by you, Jesus, to pray that your kingdom would come. There's only one kingdom, and we're all praying for the same kingdom. And your will, there's only one will. That's your will, the will of the Father. Your perfect will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. In our lives individually, Lord, we thank you for that. But we know, Lord, there is a collective amen that you call us to a place of oneness with you, Father. Unity, Lord, really is all about oneness. So we declare oneness today in Jesus' name. Father, help us, Lord, to bring into alignment our thoughts, that we would be of one mind, that we'd be of one spirit and one judgment, Lord, that we would know what it is that you're saying, Father God. Father, we pray that everything that would hinder us from perceiving and experiencing the revelation of your will would be removed in Jesus' name. Lord, that our biases, Lord, would not bribe, Lord God, our discernment, that we would clearly understand what it is that you want, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you are the only one that is perfect. You're the only one that is immutable. You never change, Lord. But Father, because you never change, you are God. You are God and we are not. And we declare in Jesus' name that what you desire for this house, what you desire, Lord, to happen in our lives, and Lord, to go forth even to the other cities and nations of the earth, Lord, would not be thwarted, Lord, but it would be accelerated, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you are the God who literally creates miracles out of the mess, the messes of life. And we honor you and we bless you, Lord.
Thank you, God.
Let's just right now just say, Lord, I give you my will, and Lord, I pray that your will would transcend in every situation. Come on, just offer that up to him right now as an act of worship. Lord, my will, I surrender. I lay it down at the cross at your feet, Lord, and I say that everything in my life and my thoughts and my desires and my ambition, Lord, my plans would come into sync with what you desire. Father, have your way. Lord, as we yield to you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.